Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you that you did indeed come to heaven, come from heaven to earth 2,000 years ago, that we might hear from you, that we might be transformed by the light that you bring to us, that you would grab onto us so that we can grab onto you and be transformed. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Now, if this is the first time you've been here, sometimes you do a little amening. If you don't do it loud enough, Tommy will pick up the slack back there, but we are looking for some participation. It rained yesterday. You know, supposedly with El Nino, we're supposed to be having rain for the next couple of months. Mike and I and JJ, I don't know if JJ knows it yet, but we are going to be putting a new top on the blacktop tomorrow. And so we're going to be getting ready for the rain. When I lived in Northern California, rain meant rain and rain meant snow. Now, how many of you have ever been snow skiing? Wow, so all you Southern Californians. How many of you have never been snow skiing? Wow. All right. When you are new to snow skiing, they have this thing called the rope tow. Yeah. Now, this kid is actually snowboarding. I don't know how to snowboard, but I know how to ski. As I was a kid, I would ski and go to China Peak, and we would go skiing. And how you get up there, at least when you're starting, is you go on the rope tow. It's a cheap ticket, and you go up to this rope, and it's a thick rope, especially when you're a little kid. And that rope is on a big old pulley up there, the big old tractor turning that thing, and you grab onto it, and it will pull you up the mountain. How many of you have ever been on a rope tow? Just me and Aunt. Oh, there we go. Okay, all right. Yeah. And what happens is, see, that rope will be sliding right through your hand. Right, and the mountain, the hill is right up there, and you're a little kid, or you've never done it before. You're going, oh, how am I going to be able to do this? I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. I'm a little scared, right? And you go up there, and you see that rope just sliding through your hand, and you don't go anywhere until you grab on. You start grabbing on, that friction starts going. You start going, and you're going right up that hill, just like magic. You gotta grab on to move. Amen. Title of today's message is Lit by the Light. We're going to be taking a look at the shepherds today. We're going to be taking a look at the birth of Christ today. And as we have looked at in this series called Let There Be Light, these are the very first words that God speaks as recorded in the Bible. Let there be light. Let there be light, that there might be a difference between light and darkness. And Jesus comes that we might have an option, that we might move from darkness into light. Amen? The thing is you don't move until you grab on. And there are opportunities. Perhaps you are here today. Perhaps you're here today because of Coco's Pies. Perhaps you're here today because you heard there was going to be tri-tip. Perhaps you're here today because of the sheep that are leaving their wares all around us. And if you are, I'm so glad that you are here, because there is an opportunity for you to grab onto the light this morning and begin to move. Because as you look around, I'll tell you what, it's pretty dark out there. Can I get a witness on that? So we're going to spend our time in Luke chapter 2 today. And the title of the message today is Lit by the Light. Let's take a look. Amen?
Amen.
All righty. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree. Excuse me. I'm so glad Pastor Carlos brings water up here. You know, Pastor Paul is sick. I shook his hand on Wednesday. Watch out. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. And I see in this that the Lord steps into history and God begins to move people around. God creates an international incident. God is making a move on Joseph and Mary. And he causes Caesar, the king per se of Rome, to issue a decree for a census. Got to have a little bit more tax money. Everybody loves that, right? Well, they didn't even love it back then. But I get you this map, and this is a picture of Rome. And how many people would have been on the move? The population of Rome at the time of Jesus' birth was about 5 million. And so God moves 5 million people to get Mary and Joseph to Rome. Micah chapter 5. Micah's a prophet that lived 600 years before Christ. Micah, his book, one of the last in the Old Testament, chapter 5, verse 2 says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah." Now, that's the little Bethlehem. That is the Bethlehem that's in the south. That is the Bethlehem, not the big Bethlehem that's in the north. He's saying, the little Bethlehem. He says, "Out of you, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." It's Bethlehem that fulfills the prophecy. 600 years, people keeping their eyes on Bethlehem. What's going to happen? God says it's going to happen. God can make it happen. Amen? God causes Caesar to say, "I think I need to get a little bit more tax money. I think we got to move everybody around, take this census. Everybody's got to go to their own town." Why? Just so he can get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. God moves on the heart of the most mighty and powerful king on the planet of the day to move all of his people around so God's son can be born in Bethlehem, proving that he is indeed the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Doesn't even appear that it's very hard for God to cause this to happen. It's not like he had to flex, you know, it's like, oh, how am I going to get Caesar to do this? No. God steps into history and offers us an option. He says, "Here I am, grab on. If you want to move, you got to grab on." Amen? Amen? All right. Joseph heads to Bethlehem. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, which is about 60 miles away, but you had to walk around Samaria because Jews didn't walk through Samaria. They didn't want even the dirt of Samaria on their feet. So it's like a 100-mile trek. He says, they went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David, a king. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. Joseph took Mary. They were pledged to be married. Joseph had been visited by the angel of the Lord, Matthew chapter 1. He said, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is going on in her is of the Holy Spirit. There is no infidelity, there's no unfaithfulness, there's no anything going on. You can trust me in this, Joseph." Because Joseph had in his mind to put her away, to divorce her, because that's how tight being pledged betrothed was back in the day. It was like being engaged plus, per se. They were basically legally married, although they had not consummated that marriage. And so Joseph took her to the town of Bethlehem. And we read earlier in Luke that Mary had gone to visit Elizabeth to verify and validify the message of God to her that indeed Elizabeth in her old age was with child and stayed 3 months with her. And so we got these babies hanging around here now. And if you've not had any, about 3-4 months, you can start telling when a woman is pregnant. And that's a time frame we're looking at here. And so Joseph, who could have easily just left Mary up in Nazareth, and people would be looking at, oh, Mary. But he spares her. Notice, he did not marry her. Did not consummate that marriage because God is doing a thing. So they both take upon the shame of this child coming and not being married. But they move to Jerusalem, they move to Bethlehem. And I'm going to kind of blow up our inn here, okay? Chances are they didn't go to a hotel. Chances are that they went quite early to Bethlehem, maybe in the 4th month of her pregnancy. Supposition. But it was early, and they were staying most likely with poor relatives. And as more and more of the family came, more and more of the family would come to stay with the family that was still living in Bethlehem. And they would be sleeping on mats at night, and the whole room would be filled with mats. And the time came for the baby to come, right? A baby's coming. You got all these people in the room, and they got to find a little bit of privacy. And they say, well, let's clean up the stable in the back. And so Jesus is indeed born in a stable. As I read this, I notice that God did not make any special provision for Joseph and Mary. That God did not make any special provision for the birth of his son. No fanfare, not a reception. The Son of God was indeed born in a manger. And this, you see this manger, it is where they feed animals. Not much of a reception. My children are back. My daughter, working with the kids, putting on the play. The first time she ever did that, she was 8. She's turning 21 in a couple of weeks. So she's run a lot of. She said, no, Dad, we're having extravaganza. Well, anyway, we're not going to go there. We're just going to call it a play. No, Dad, it's extravaganza. Well, her and Joe, 10, 12 years ago, my son, she decided they were going to make a little fort in our backyard. It's actually not in our backyard. There's a fence and there's a little downslope we live next door to a church, and it's about, I don't know, 20 feet, 15 feet. It's a little downslope. So they're making a fort. And how many kids ever made a fort? How many of you guys ever made a fort? Oh, man, it's the biggest thing, right? Getting all this stuff. And it's, Dad, you know, they've been working on it for, I don't know, a couple days anyway. And they've got stuff and taking stuff. And they were, you know, I remember now. They took my meat cleaver and they were chopping trees with it. I said, no, let's not do that, kids. They said, Dad, come out and look at our house. And it was a couple of pieces of cardboard and like a little chair. I mean, I couldn't even get to it. You had to go through there. And realistically, they're so proud. But realistically, this thing was made of garbage. It was not really impressive. And so our Lord, as he came, born in a stable, placed in a manger, not very impressive, but he still came. Amen? Amen? All right, let's keep going. God declares the good news. And Jesus targets the least. He said there were shepherds out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. I got a picture of a shepherd here. It's a modern picture, obviously. Back in the day, shepherds were the lowest rung of the economic ladder. Comparable today of can collectors or something like that. Shepherds were shepherding, sleeping out in the cold because there wasn't anything else they could get. And they were looked at, and the owners of the sheep would always be ripping me off, you know, because a bunch of thieves, you know, you guys can't get anything better. And so they were just making do. They were just trying to get by. The only thing lower than the shepherd was a beggar. And that's about as far as you could get. And isn't it wonderful that the Lord healed beggars and the blind and the lame? Amen? And that heaven indeed targets the needy. And they came this day to the shepherds, to those that were ignored by most of the other people. And as the Lord was concerned for the needy, so this church is concerned with the needy. And this church is focused on the needs of this neighborhood. And there is a lot of need in this neighborhood. So we serve that need. Amen? Amen. JJ and I were listening to the Republican debate on Tuesday. We watched the Democratic debate last night as well. And anybody watch either one of those debates? Hands up high. They're not bad, you know, they talk about it. Anyway, so they got them up there and they got internet questions. And there's a lady who comes on, younger lady. She says, the Bible says that we are to befriend the needy. Now, the whole time they're talking about being attacked by these radical Muslims and this jihadist and the jihad and what are you going to do and you're going to close off the borders and what are you going to do to keep the United States safe? And so this lady in that setting says, the Bible says you're supposed to befriend the needy. What are you going to do with that? And my ears perked right up. I want to open this up just a little bit. Because Jesus says we're supposed to turn the other cheek. You heard that part? But he doesn't say you have to go out looking to get hit. Can I get a witness on that? John tells us. 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, the epistles of John, towards the end of the New Testament. John tells us that there are indeed actions that we are supposed to break fellowship over. In fact, he says, if somebody brings a gospel other than the one that we preach, don't even invite such a person into your home. And so there are those who would say, because of the love of Christ, that we should live in danger and let dangerous people come near us. But what Jesus says is that you should find the needy that are around you and show them the love of Christ. And the love of Christ is not necessarily exemplified by letting dangerous people come close to you. Amen? All right. I got to take one little time out right here, okay? Let's see. I got a lady right here who needs to get some earbuds. Can you help me out with that? Can you help her out right there in the second thing? There you go. Thank you, ma'am. We got a Spanish translation thing going on, and I want to make sure that we got a mom that's here for the grand finale of the extravaganza. Make sure that she can hear some Spanish. Amen? All right, let's see what we got here. All right, number three. 2B, I'm sorry. Receiving a message of good news. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you great news, good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. That's part of our Spanish thing going on. You know, it's amazing. When you got headphones in, you got no clue how loud you are. All right. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." Good news. Amen? We're seeing here the angel of the Lord. We have been 3 weeks in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, and this is the third time we see the angel of the Lord who has been named Gabriel so far, not named here. We also see in Matthew chapter 1 that it is indeed the angel of the Lord who visits Joseph in a dream, saying, "That which is in Mary is of the Holy Spirit. You can take her as your wife." So here we see again this angel, and we read last week that he causes people to make a move, that he causes people to change. He appeared to Zechariah in the tomb, and Zechariah became mute. He appeared to Mary in Nazareth, and now we see again. We see the power of God. The power of God manifest in a woman in her old age having a child who was barren for her whole life. We see in Mary this miraculous conception that happens, and we hear about these things, but here among the least in that culture, among these shepherds, we see and read about the glory of God that shone about them, that they are out in the sticks, out with the sheep. It stinks. It's cold. It is hot. I don't know what it was. But they're out in the middle of nowhere, and there's no lights around except for the stars, and the glory of God comes down about them. And that word glory speaks of splendor. And the Hebrew word that is translated from speaks of weight. And so here they are, these guys that are on the down and outs, and the splendor and the weight of God shows about them. And God is coming by and making them an offer of light. Parents of the heavenly host. And you can think of a choir of angels all arrayed and singing out loud, saying, "Glory to God in the highest." But the word is more closely related to army. The army of heaven, this band of angels that is coming, and you get that picture rather than the choir picture, and we see and are reminded of the spiritual battle that we fight. We see and are reminded that there is an enemy that would steal that child from you and that child from you and your children from you, no matter how old they are. It's dark out there. Amen? Anybody a Star Wars fan? Who said no? Wow. Wow. Haters in the midst. Okay. Well, JJ and Joe and I went on Friday early. It was early. Matinee tickets were cheap, and then I even went Fandango, paid the fee. It was cheap enough. And Leanne goes, "Hey, Dad! I'm going, you said you didn't want to go." She said, "I thought you were going on Friday night. I got other things to do, but I'll go Friday day." So we're there anyway, and we're watching it. And I like Star Wars. I mean, I was, I don't know, 10 when it first came out, and I grew up with Star Wars, so I liked it. And it's fun. It's worth watching. Nothing really bad happens in it. But about three quarters of the way through, and I'm sitting next to Leanne, and then there's Joe, and then there's JJ. I kid you not. And these dudes start talking behind me in some language. I don't know what it is. And that's not Spanish. And I'm thinking, man, that kind of sounds Arabic to me. And I tell you what, man, I went on high alert. And these guys are talking a little bit back, and I'm just, initially I'm thinking, just shut up, man. It's a movie here, guys. But then I start thinking, man, these guys got guns on them? They got bombs on them? You know, and I got 6'4", one person over, but I can't even tell him because I don't want to warn them that I'm onto them. But I'm telling you, I am on edge. Those guys move. I am over those seats, and I am on them in a second. I kid you not. Because they're talking, hey, Star Wars, man, people are going to be getting blown up and shot up in this thing. There's an enemy out there. Not ISIS. I'm talking about the enemy of your souls that would destroy you. And Jesus comes to give you a rescue out of the darkness. You got to grab on to move. But I tell you what, don't ignore the battle that rages around you. Principalities, spiritual powers that want to destroy you and destroy your children. Amen? God came to bring a rescue, but you've got to grab on to move. Amen? All right, here we go. Shepherds say, let's go. Let's get it on. Shepherds are transformed by the power and the splendor and the might and the glory of God. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, oh, let's take a nap. Because sometimes that's what we think, you know, hey, well, I've been working so hard, I've been doing so much stuff. Yeah, all this God schmod stuff. Hey, I'm just going to go to the movie, Star Wars, whatever, I'm kicking back. I'm too tired for God. That's not what the shepherds said. They said, man, there's an opportunity for light. There's an opportunity to get out of this darkness, out of this situation. We're grabbing on. We're going to move. They said, let's go see. Let's go see if what the... And I'm, you know, I don't know if I would really be doubting. You got Gabriel, most likely, he's not named, Archangel. You got the heavenly army. I'm just saying, we believe you. Yeah, I got you, Lord. But they said, let's go see. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. I want to see. You want to see God do mighty things? You want to see God do something in your life? You want to see your life transformed, the life of your kids transformed? I'll tell you what, you look around, you got ISIS going on, you got all the stuff they talk about in these debates, man, it is tough out there. It's dark out there. And there's nobody promising any light except Jesus who comes to be born in a manger. Said, I don't need anything special. I got something for you. Will you grab on? Are you ready to be moved? Because you can't follow God and stay where you are. You're in darkness. You got some light? Keep on moving. Keep on pulling. Keep on getting towed. He says, I got an option for you. You grab on, you will start to move. And that's a problem for some people. It wasn't a problem for the shepherds. All right, truth makes a change. We're almost done. When they had seen him, when they came and saw Jesus, they said, is it true? Is it true? This is in our play. And they said, yeah, it's true. And they went and they told everybody. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Truth will make a change. Got to grab on. Got to keep on grabbing on. Got to keep on holding on. That's what the shepherds did, and it changed their priorities. All these people that had been suspicious of them, who had been down in them, who wouldn't let them up, they came with a message of a rescue. They came with a message of hope. Why? Because they didn't harbor that bitterness in the heart because they had been transformed. Tommy said, it's 18 inches that'll keep you out of heaven. The distance between your heaven, between your brain and your heart. And God will touch them both. Amen? But I'll tell you, when he does, there is an exuberance that will come into your life. And some people say, no! And they let go. Because why? Because you don't want to be moved. Don't want to be transformed. Bible says, light came to the darkness and the darkness has not understood it. That people said no to God. because I don't want to move. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. These people were waiting for a Savior. They had been beat down for 100 years by the Romans. Savior has been born to you. They had been praying for a Savior. And the people were amazed at what had been said. But when he grew up, they said, well, this isn't what we're looking for. God's not asking your opinion. He's just asking if you want to grab on. He's just asking if you want to be rescued. He came to his own, and they received him not. See, the message comes this morning. At least you can come up here and play a little something. He came to his own, and he said, here I am, born as an infant, got cold like Pastor Paul, had to have his diapers changed like either one of his little babies. He could have came in splendor. He could have came in glory. But he came in such a way as that he could relate to us, and he died a death to set us free from darkness. He comes here this morning and says, I know you came here for a play. I know you came here for some pie. But I'm offering you a whole lot more. I'm offering you a rescue from the darkness. But if you want it, you got to grab on. Because until you grab on, you're not going to move. There are so many people who just say, not interested. In fact, Jesus says, there's more who say not interested than grab on. And when you grab on, you got to squeeze tight and you'll start to move. Scare you to death. Scare you to life. But if you don't grab on, you'll never move. And God wants you to move from darkness into light. Amen? Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning that you are indeed the light of the world, and that you came and you revealed yourself to me 25 years ago, and that you've revealed yourself to so many in this room this morning. I thank you for the children, Lord, that shine as beacons of light. I thank you for the darkness that is the contrast that we can see that we need to be rescued. And as in Israel, so many live in fear today. And even in City Heights, we are surrounded by fear today. And that you come and you reach down a nail-pierced hand and say, you want to move? Grab on. I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. I'll take you to Dad. You can come out of darkness this morning.